Welcome to the Nations Church podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
You've got your Bibles with me. Are you ready? Let's go. I want us to turn to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3. And we're going to read a chunk of scripture. And as we do, would you just absorb this, the Word of God, as I'm reading it. You read it along too, and let this sink into your spirit, because it is a powerful scripture. So we're going to read this in verse 3. It says, "By His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness," it's still going, "godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone." That's a lot. "The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins." This is a powerful scripture that we're going to talk about today. And I want to speak to you a message titled, "Your New Nature." Your new nature. A couple of years ago, I have three siblings, and my big brother and big sister, my family, decided that they were going to take my 60-year-old Asian mother camping for the first time in her life. Unfortunately, I was not there to witness this. And they tell the story of how my precious mother is here today. They tell the story of they put her in a tent with an inflatable mattress, and she had a pump, like a foot pump, that she had to like inflate it herself. And they say that in the middle of the night they could hear like a shh, 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 shh. And my poor mother had to pump that foot pedal, and then you could hear it, like that high-pitched sound, because in the morning, you can understand she was woken up on a deflated mattress, because that mattress had a hole in it would have caused her to never camp again. So that's a fact. And we can all agree how unfortunate it is when something that is created to do a certain thing is broken. You know, the mattress had one job. It has one purpose in life: give me a comfortable night's sleep. And that night, a single hole deflated that mattress of its purpose. And you can probably see where I'm going with this. But for you and I, if a mattress can have a purpose, so can you. And you know, God has given every person in this room a purpose to live an abundant life. The scripture says that we read this just a moment ago. It said, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. His desire for each of us is to live a godly life, to have purpose, to be whole, to be image bearers, to bear His image upon this earth. And the fullness that He's created to live at times is inhibited by our broken nature. You know, a broken nature that we all kind of experience. And we read in verse 5, Peter wrote this, and he talks about supplementing your faith with a generous provision of, and then he goes to list a bunch of moral virtues, moral excellence, knowledge, self-control, patient endurance, godliness, brotherly affection, love for everyone. If I was to audit my life against this list, I would find myself severely lacking. Can I get an amen from anyone else that struggles with patient endurance, brotherly affection, godliness, you know, all of these things? And This is not an exhaustive list. The Bible is full of much more things, much more standards that God desires for us to live up to in regards to living a godly life. But our broken nature affects, and our broken nature affects these things. It affects our ability to be whole in these areas. And it not only affects us and our purpose, but it affects the people that have to live with you. You know what I'm saying? The people that have to put up with you, the people that have to work with you. Our broken nature not only touches our life and affects us, but it begins to affect our relationships as well. Someone came up to Jesus in the Bible and said, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment? If you have all of these standards and all of these commandments, what's the greatest?" Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself," i.e., your relationships matter to God because he's put us on this earth to enjoy relationships, to enjoy each other, not to be isolated alone, to be in community. If you've been in Nations Church longer than 5 minutes, you know, you'll know that, or in any church longer than a month, you will find relational tensions in the atmosphere in terms of, because we're just people, we're just broken people, aren't we? And something I say today might offend you, or you'll get prayer on the altar and someone might say something, be like, "What?" Or someone in your connect group really annoys you. Whatever it may be, there is a relational tension that sometimes comes when we're in church life, if not 100% of the time. You know, some people leave church because God told them. Some people leave because of things, you know, the broken nature that there's a rift between people, or there's a fence between someone, or there's a hurt in our hearts. But when we see these things happen, we mustn't run. We must actually stay. We must actually get whole. Because our brokenness affects the quality of our life. But there's good news. The good news is that brokenness is an opportunity to share in the divine nature of Christ. We read this before in verse 4. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. You have access to a new nature in Christ. Praise God. We get to share in it, and it supersedes our broken, human, carnal, sinful nature. In 2 Corinthians, Jesus says to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore," Paul says, "I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties." When's the last time you delighted in an insult? Someone insulted you the other day. "Delight in weaknesses, in persecutions, for when I am weak, then I am strong." What is Paul talking about here? He's saying he delights in his weaknesses. It's because Paul has a revelation. He has a revelation that he has a new nature in Christ that he can actually partner with and share with the power of God, that his weakness is actually an opportunity for him to share in the power of God. Praise God, he doesn't leave us broken. Praise God, he sought to redeem it, and we get to access this. And you know why we get to access this is because God didn't just pay a price for your salvation. He paid a price for your wholeness as well. He paid a price for your wholeness. In Romans 6:4, it says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." So many of you here today would call yourself a Christian, or you've made a decision in your life where you put your hand up, or you've said yes to Jesus. "I'm going to follow you. I'm going to receive you. I'm going to receive salvation." And we would say that you were saved in that moment. Salvation didn't occur the moment that you die and then you go to heaven, or you go to a new earth or a new life. Salvation starts now. And it's the same with wholeness. Is that the moment that you receive salvation, the moment that you say yes to Jesus, his wholeness is available today. Not when you die, But right now, we get to access and live a new life in Christ today. You have access to a new nature for your life today. So how do we access this new nature? I hear you asking. Well, I will answer. So we access the divine nature of Christ by, first of all, revelation. You need to get a revelation. So 1500 BC, so over 3,000 years ago in the Old Testament, the people of God was the nation of Israel. This was the people of God. We're going to go on a history lesson. Just stay with me. And so God had asked them to build a tabernacle in order to host his presence. I've got a picture of a replica of that. I thought this was AI, but this is not AI. This is a real replica that they've created in Israel of what the tabernacle would have looked like, the enclosure. If you read the book of Leviticus or you read the Old Testament, you will find the specifications and the descriptions of this place. And it was here that God said that he was going to rest his presence for the nation of Israel. And he chose priests, the Levites. Only the priests were able to access the tabernacle. And the priest would represent all of the people, all of the nation of Israel, on their behalf and bring, you know, sacrifices and atonement for their sin and animal sacrifices and things before God. And they would burn that incense there, and there was a wash basin and then all these sorts of things. And they would go into the presence of God, and that's how God would forgive them of their sins and all these sorts of things. And the priest had to be ceremonially clean to enter this place because God is holy. And so if the priest touched something moldy or something gross or someone who was sick or something that wasn't good, the priest had to really wash themselves, like physically, and do all these sorts of things to go through the order and get into the presence of God and do the things that he needed to do. And the reason is because sin cannot stand in the presence of God, because God is so holy. And so there were these things that they had to do. And God's holiness is amazing. It's Tim Mackey says that his holiness is like the sun. It gives you life. We need it. It gives you warmth. It causes you to grow. We wouldn't survive without the sun. But if you go near it, you will die. You know, that's the holiness of God. It is good. It's amazing. It's wonderful. But if you go near it and you are sinful, it's very dangerous for you. I want to fast forward 3,000 years later. We get to the New Testament. A man calls Jesus, he comes onto the scene. And Jesus claims that he is a son of God. Jesus was God. And he walked on this earth as a man, but perfectly God. And he was sin-free and he was holy because he was God. So he was holiness personified. But something crazy happened in this instance where we see God's holiness. And we'll read in Mark 1, verse 41, when a man touches him, what happens? A man with leprosy came, knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me and make me clean, he said. This is a man with leprosy. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. It's crazy. And he said, I am willing, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. So we see in the Old Testament that someone else had to represent you to God, and they had to go through all this cleansing and da 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 da, so that God wouldn't like destroy them when they got to the end. But then Jesus, who is holiness personified, comes onto this earth, and instead of when he touches a man who has leprosy, who is unclean, who is sick, instead of that man dying instantly on the spot, he is healed, he is made whole, he is set free. Because Jesus, when he touches your life, you will be made clean. And you actually need to get a revelation today that when Jesus touches your life, his new nature touches you, his new nature comes upon you, that you have become sin-free, that your brokenness begins to wash away and his wholeness begins to impact your life. Not because of anything that you have done. In fact, there is nothing you could do, no steps that are going to get you into God's presence. No striving to make you whole. No striving to generate a new nature on your own. I've tried it. We've all tried it. We try to get better on our own. This can only be attained through touching Jesus, letting God touch your life, letting Him impute His new nature onto you. And there's more good news. It is your permanent position. It is your permanent position. So what, when you stuff up, when you go from church to and you make a mistake, is it still your position? Yes. It doesn't matter what you do. It's not based on your situation. Your position in Christ is immovable as much as you want it. Obviously, if you decide you don't want Christ, that's a different story. But it is immovable. It is unchanging. He did it once and for all. And so you can access this divine nature. You need to get a revelation that everything you need and have is found in God already. This means that your brokenness is not who you are. And some people think, well, I'm just an anxious person. It's just who I am. I'm anxious. Oh, I keep stuffing up with this sin, this addiction, this cycle over and over. It's just who I am. I grew up in a loud family. We lash out at each other. It's just who we are. And it's like, no, you got to understand that's actually not who you are. That's not your identity anymore. Your position is not one of brokenness. Your position is one of holiness in Christ. And we have a new nature. We have a new nature. I've been married 12 years, and early on in my marriage, me and my husband were having a fight, an argument, can't remember what it was about, and it was, you know, we were just fighting. And then when I came back to apologize to him, I just said to him, look, I'm so sorry, I'm so bad, like I don't want to do this anymore, I don't want to say these things anymore, I'm such a bad wife. My husband looked at me straight in the eyes, and he said, the first thing that came out of his mouth was, you're a good wife. You're a good wife. Before we were going to like hash out the argument and talk about what we could do or whatever, the first thing that he said was, you're a good wife. Do you know, that was when the penny dropped for me and I had a revelation, because he was showing me Christ in that moment, that is the love of Christ that would look at you through the eyes of position, not through the eyes of what you have done. It doesn't make you want to be a terrible person when you hear that. It makes you want to live up to the standard that this person has told you that you are. And, you know, we need to access all of this. The second point I want to say is to access the divine nature of Christ by faith. We need to access it by faith. I have two daughters, my six-year-old daughter. I just wanted you to imagine a scenario with me. She's in year one, so I drop her to school every day. And imagine with me, if her name's Haven, if I dropped Haven at school and I got her backpack ready and I got her lunchbox ready and her water bottle, I put it in her bag and she ran off to school. And imagine with me if Haven then got to school and started begging people for food. Please help me, I need food. That would be utterly ridiculous. You know, it wouldn't make sense. You would look at me and be like, that's crazy. Why is she doing that? You know, why is she doing that? And it's the reason, it's like, that would never happen, because she understands that I am her mother, she is my daughter, that she is everything we need. But sometimes we do this in our walk with God, in that just because you have access doesn't mean you're accessing. Just because He's given you all that you need doesn't mean you're actually taking it out and using it and owning it. And so we need to access this by faith. Matthew 21:22, Jesus says, you can pray for anything, and if you have faith, you will receive it. And so I just encourage you today to access the divine nature of Christ. Instead of the mindset of, you know, when you lash out or when you do the thing you know you shouldn't or say the thing that you shouldn't be saying, we can actually access the divine nature of Christ through faith. And instead of saying, I wish I was more like this, or I wish I, you know, could get better at that, and I just want to be more like this, when we access the divine nature, the new nature for you in faith, you can actually thank God that you already have access. It's a different prayer, and it's a different claiming, where you go, thank you, God, that I have access to patience today. Yeah. Praise God. Thank you, God, that right now I'm a new creation. I have a sound mind. that I have a peaceful heart, that I'm not an anxious person. And just like, you know, Haven shouldn't wish he had something already. Let's not wish that we were more like this or more like that, but rather change our attitude to receive by faith what you already have today. Faith is not a feeling. I know sometimes we feel full of faith, or sometimes we don't feel full of faith. But it doesn't mean that faith is a feeling. Faith is something that you can activate right now. You might have walked in here not feeling full of faith today, but in this moment, you can actually activate it and say, God, I am going through this, this, this right now. I am broken in these areas, and I receive today what you have purchased on the cross for me to receive. Everything that I need is found in you. I claim it today. And lastly, we access the divine nature of Christ by being intentional. By being intentional. Yes, we need to put work in as well. So I think it was so important to preface this point with the other points, because understanding your position, having a revelation of that and accessing it by faith is crucial. Is crucial, because it is from that place that informs now us putting the work into change. When we put in the work into change without that, it's very difficult, nearly impossible, and it's not God's portion for you. But we must actually believe who we are in Christ first and understand that to rid ourselves of condemnation, because condemnation will punish you, will really hurt your life when your brokenness is identified in that. But when you understand who you are, it is from that place, it informs our ability to now put steps into process to go, okay, I'm going to now be intentional to work on these areas that God, the Holy Spirit, is highlighting in my life. What a shame it would be to be a Christian by title, but not by nature. But not by nature to say, yeah, I'm a Christian. And you've been a Christian many years, or you've been a Christian a few weeks, or you say, I'm a Christian, but my nature, it still reflects the old nature. And so I want us to read in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. It says, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. It says, I'll read it again. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, your former way, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful nature, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, to put on your new self, the new nature that Christ has given to us. And so just because we have access to a new nature and we've got to put on that new nature, it doesn't mean that we have fully stripped off the old nature. And so it's important that we're intentional about this. It's important that we actually put the work in, because it does sometimes take work. And sometimes, yes, God will heal you in a moment. He will set you free of an addiction in a moment. He will heal your marriage in a moment. Whatever. Sometimes He does these incredible supernatural things where He can do that in a moment. And sometimes we have to put the work in to put off your old self, Paul says, to intentionally take off old ways, to intentionally take off broken thinking, to intentionally pull off broken behaviors. Sometimes we need to see professional counseling, psychology. Sometimes we just need to put off old ways of thinking to deconstruct belief systems. Sometimes we need to respond to here at church, to an altar call, receive prayer ministry, receive prayer at your Connect group. Josh talked about before, Whole and Free, that course is run once a year. It is an opportunity to sign up for Whole and Free at the end of this month, because it is a day of freedom and healing and figuring things and hearing from the Holy Spirit. I encourage you to sign up for that. It means that we need to be honest. It means that we need to repent. It means that we need to confess. And sometimes it's all of it. And I speak from experience. I put my hand up and say, I'm not a perfect Christian. Absolutely not. Have I done all these things I've just listed? Absolutely, yes. And it's hard sometimes to put on the new nature. The amount of times, you know, Chrissy said, I've been at this church 20 years, worked here 12 years. The amount of times I've had to apologize to someone, I shouldn't have said that way. I'm sorry if I came across that way. Do I enjoy apologizing? No. Do I need to? Yes, because I have a loud mouth, things like that. That's just basic to, you know, all the way through to my marriage needing serious help and me getting on this altar and receiving prayer and me going to counseling and doing the things. And it takes hard work, but it is our privilege, it is our inheritance, it is a joy to share in the divine nature of Christ, to get to partner with the Lord and allow His purpose to come in and heal, allow His purpose to come in and change my life. The end of that scripture we first opened with, Peter says, the more you grow like this, in verse 8, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And ain't that the truth, that when we live a godly life, when we put on this new nature, when we share in His divine nature, our life is able to be useful, productive, more useful, more productive. Can God use broken people? Yes, He does. Does He use us every day? Yes, He does. Can we get more whole? Yes, we can. Can we allow Him to move more in us? Yes, we can. So what is it for you today? You know, what is the new nature that God is asking you to put on today that you already have access to? Are your relationships healthy? Do you respond in a healthy way? Do you see any patterns in your relationships? Can you identify patterns of disappointment or patterns of getting hurt? Do you exercise self-control with your words, with your marriage? Do you have patient endurance with your children? Is there unforgiveness? Is there unforgiveness in your heart? You know, what are these things? Because the Holy Spirit is kind. He will not slam us with a billion things. He will always touch our heart and show us one thing. Holy Spirit is so kind, and there is more for you and I, church. We don't have to run away. We can come to Christ today. We can heal. We can allow, we can touch Jesus afresh today and allow His wholeness to infiltrate our life, to allow Him to bring you into greater wholeness so that you can look like Him, more like Him, sound more like Him, and put on this new nature. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Nations Church podcast. For more info, please visit nationschurch.com. Thank you.